the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So it's time to talk to Murray McKeown and Cal Thomas about all the things that are going on in the United States of America. Let's start though with what happened in New York last night. It's the third game of the NBA Finals. The New York Knicks were going in with a two-game advantage over the San Antonio Spurs. Donald Trump decided to join the crowds at Madison Square Garden, much to the consternation of many of the fans outside who had to go through massive security checks as a result. And then Trump fell asleep, it seems, in the final quarter of a game that the Knicks lost. But this is what happened during the national anthem. It seems that, judge for yourself, he was booed. And then we'll hear what he had to say about it afterwards.
Whose brush shines and bright stars through the perilous fights where the
I thought it was amazing, actually. You mean when they had the camera on me? I thought it was very good, yeah. It was certainly amazing. It was I think mostly cheers. It was loud and it was very enthusiastic.
Ah, yes, loud and enthusiastic. Cal Thomas, he will convince himself of that, won't he?
Well, I watched the game, Matt. I thought it was exciting. And, you know, with respect to the national anthem, traditionally, until recently, people have respected the national anthem. They sing along, or they put their hand over their hearts, or whatever. What they did was, at Madison Square Garden, put the picture of the president up on the big jumbotron with his hand over his heart, and New Yorkers being New Yorkers, they decided to boo him in the middle of the national anthem. With respect to his eyes closing and allegedly sleeping, look, a picture can tell nothing at all, or it can tell everything. There's a picture of me up on my Wikipedia page scowling, a fun-loving, good-looking guy like me scowling sends a message. Now, I'm sure that there are some people who doze off listening to this program, Matt, when I'm not on it, but that does not mean that it's not an excellent show.
I'll bet, Cal, that you saw every minute of the Knicks against the Spurs and never dropped off, even if you were sitting at home on your sofa. But the thing with Trump is that this is the man who mocked Joe Biden, a sleepy Joe, all the time. And we're seeing consistently now at cabinet meetings, at press conferences, and even now in Madison Square Garden, a man who's unable to keep his eyes open, who appears to be drifting off. And for all of the media in the United States who bitterly complained that Joe Biden didn't have the cognitive abilities because he was Sleepy Joe, encouraged by Donald Trump, there's Trump showing it exactly himself on multiple occasions.
Well, those cabinet meetings are boring. I've drifted off a little bit while watching them. But I hate to bring up age, Matt, but I am a little bit older than Trump. And I watched every minute of that game last night. It was exciting. And I mean, I used to play basketball. What amazed me was how these teams get away with fouling. I mean, they were actually hitting each other and the refs were not calling fouls in many cases. But look, Trump says he's just resting his eyes. I don't know what's going on, but it's all, you know, it's all political. And maybe he's just bored being praised all the time. That's probably what it is.
Marion, I know you're not a big sports fan, but I'd say you know enough that it's one thing nodding off when you're at home, maybe on the sofa with a beer in your hand. It is entirely inappropriate to shut your eyes at a live game, and not just any live game, one with so much at stake last night.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you can have it both ways. And by the way, Cal, I figured you for a big basketball player. And I would imagine, I'm afraid your analogy doesn't hold up because there are dozens and dozens of pictures of Trump with his eyes closed and scowling and all the rest. I doubt there are too many of you scowling, even if there are one or two in circulation. So the analogy, look, if you do it every day, five times a day in Trump's case, as he's drifting off and all of the rest of it, you got to start thinking, what is going on here? And there should be harder questions questions asked by the media. And I think, Matt, you're right. The same media were jumping up and down their hair and fire when Joe Biden was seeming to miss a step. And he did. He missed a lot of steps and he should never have run again. But, you know, the same standard should be applied to Trump. I thought it was really stupid for him to insist in turning up. He's such a petulant little brat. You know, he insists that it's going to be his party. He turns up then and he sulks and he falls asleep. The booing that I heard from different sectors was a lot louder than we just heard in that clip. It was deafening. But yet, you know, there's a sort of a collusion in this gaslighting. I saw on Newsmax and on Fox News that the reporters were saying, oh, they were chanting USA. They were chanting USA. They were not. You know, I mean, this lying is, it's just ridiculous. It's out of control. And I think that the scenes outside of the arena, if anyone saw those, the New Yorkers weren't holding their punches there. Let's just say that.
Okay,
but, you know, it's a great night for New York and they should have been able to celebrate and they had to cancel the party outside because of Trump. He really is just a big buzzkill.
And of course, then they lost the game when they expected to go 3-0 up and it's now back in the balance, best of seven. But of course, there's a lot of sport going on across the United States, Mexico and Canada between now and mid-July with the World Cup kicking off on Thursday in Mexico City, the first game, Mexico and South Africa. But yet what's happening in America, Marion, is causing consternation around the world. We've seen a Somalian referee denied entry to the United States. What a coincidence that it would be the country that Trump has reserved most of his ire for, Somalia, that a referee from that country is denied access. We are seeing players from particular countries been taken off planes and been searched on the tarmac in full view of the cameras. We are hearing about visas been denied to management of various countries like Iran. Stuff that never even happened in Qatar and Russia in previous World Cups, even Argentina back in 1978. But again, do you think does anyone in the Trump administration give a damn? Or do you think are they actually quite enjoying humiliating people like this?
Oh, I think this is deliberate. I think this is no coincidence that this Somali referee who, you know, Trump absolutely hates Ilhan Omar, who is the Somali representative for Minnesota. Now, I saw just earlier today that J.D. Vance has announced that Tim Walz and Keith Ellison, the governor and the attorney general for Minnesota, are now going to be subject to a criminal investigation for fraud. I mean, the problem for Trump and J.D. Vance is that Minnesota regularly features at the very top of every survey of well-being of American citizens who are the happiest, the best support networks, etc. And they cannot stand it. And they cannot stand Tim Walz. And they cannot stand the fact that they were run peacefully out of Minnesota when those eyes thugs were going rogue and shooting American citizens dead in the street. They cannot stand the fact that they were defeated by the peaceful protesters in Minnesota. And this is just more of the same, that they blame all of this fraud on, which had been prosecuted before any of this hype all started by Keith Ellison and had been investigated. This is just pure racism. Trump has called Somalis garbage before, said it's a garbage country. And, you know, the fact is, this is a country that has been teetering on the brink for so long. And this referee went through all of this stuff, all this trouble. He's held overnight in a cell. He's grilled for 11 hours and then he's sent on a plane back. It's just disgusting. And it puts a horrible taste, I think, in the mouths of any decent people in America at the start of the World Cup.
And Cal, when the United States, Canada and Mexico were awarded this World Cup during Donald Trump's first time as president, all sorts of assurances were given that this type of thing would not happen.
Yeah, and he celebrated it, too, and took credit for it, and it took credit for it more than once. This Somali referee was grilled for, as Marion said, at least 8 hours, kept overnight in a cell, but they didn't give any reason for denying him entry and sending him back to Somalia. I'd like to know what the reason was. Now, the story I read was that he had trained and studied the FIFA rules for refereeing. It was the dream of his life. Marion wants to go back to the business in Minnesota about the Somali community, some of whose members defrauded the United States government by stealing millions and millions of dollars that was supposed to go to actually help people. But I want to stick with the referee section here. And what you brought up, Matt, about searching people getting off planes. The United States, not Mexico and not Canada, are subject to threats and attacks all the time. And this FIFA business is a made-for-terrorist operation. So I'd like to know more details on why these people were searched and if anything was found. But security was tight at the Madison Square Garden. It's going to be tight for FIFA.
Sorry, but in relation to the World Cup, first of all, that referee isn't just somebody who studied the FIFA manual. He is somebody who is very experienced, who has refereed at the African Cup of Nations. He's wholly qualified to be a referee at this tournament. The point I'm making about various teams yes, I fully understand that if somebody comes through security, they are going to be searched. If we got on flights from Ireland to head to the United States, we're searched at Dublin Airport or Shannon before we fly out to the United States of America. We go through all the procedures. What was done in the cases of a number of teams was that they were taken off the plane and in full view of everybody out in the tarmac. Then they get searched. And we had one Iraqi player who gets 7 hours of questioning. These are players who were brought in, who are going to be in controlled circumstances, representing their teams. There is a behaviour in the United States of America that has never been shown in any previous host country towards players and officials who were there to represent other countries. That's the point, Cal.
Well, I think you make a good point, Matt, and I think preserving the dignity of these players is important. Dragging them off the plane is just uncalled for. As you said, and I've been through security at both Dublin and Shannon. Of course, I'm an American citizen. It's a lot easier for me to get through because of what they have there. But I think they could have done this in a different way, preserving the dignity of the players.
Okay, let's talk about other things. There's a number of listeners have new nicknames for Donald Trump. Dozy Don is one to go with Sleepy Joe. Another one is Nodding Don. But let's actually just hear, and we're playing a lengthy clip here of the interview that Trump did at the weekend with NBC's Kristen Welker. And this clip starts with Trump complaining about how long it's taking to count votes in Californian elections for governor and for mayor of Los Angeles.
It's 4 days. And they aren't even close
to
coming up with
it. That's how they count
the votes. You know why they're doing
that?
Because they're cheating on the election.
Do you have evidence to support that?
All I have to do is look. All I have to do is look.
That's not evidence.
And I listen. And I listen to people. And let's see what happens.
But, sir, that's not evidence.
Do you think it's appropriate?
That's how they count the votes.
Do you think it's appropriate that they have an election and 5 days later they're nowhere close to picking a winner?
State and local officials acknowledge they are slow. They're urging.
No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quickly. That's how they vote in California.
They're crooked, just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really.
Let's
well,
continue.
You play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Let's
you
continue.
Play right into their hands with this rep. You know that these elections are rigged. Your network knows that they're rigged. You know that I won an election in a landslide, and I got 94% bad press.
But, Mr. President,
you know why I got that? Because you have no
evidence.
Credibility.
But you've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about. I want to talk about Todd Lynch.
You have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Let's talk
your
about
your elections
you
in this country.
Court.
We're like a third world country.
But, sir,
your elections are crooked, and you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked,
Mr.
and
President.
So is ABC and CBS and CNN.
But, Mr. President,
your one-sided crooked networks. All right. Let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good
Mr.
time.
Mr. President, let's please. I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat in the rain with
all
you.
I know.
I've
I traveled
sat in the rain
all the way
with you
to
for
Wisconsin.
An hour, on and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President,
a country can never be great with a dishonest
listen,
press.
Now, darling Marion, tell us a little bit about all of the cheating and crookedness, the evidence that Trump has been able to bring forward of that.
You know, just listening to that again, it really doesn't get any better with the second or third. I just want to say in Kristen Walker's defense, I've been in press scrums with her many times when I was in DC. She is one of the most tenacious and professional reporters out there. I wish it hadn't evolved into that awful at the end. She shouldn't have said she went to Wisconsin. It sounded like a couple sparring. I thought for a moment he thought she was Melania there when he said, "It's over, darling." You know, I mean,
when did he last call Melania darling?
Well, there is that. But, you know, that condescending condescending tone. He's, you know, he really does treat women journalists differently. And we've seen that example over and over, the abusive names. He calls her stupid. If she's not crooked, she's stupid. It is outrageous that he gets away with that. It really is. But he had no evidence. And this is what happens when, on the rare occasion that Trump is held to account by a journalist, where he is pressed for something, he just loses it. Because what, you know, this is one of the things that drives me nuts, that people get confused because Trump will take any phone call from anyone at 2 o'clock in the morning, any journalist, and he'll turn up at anything. But the fact that he's accessible is just giving him free rein for all of his lies and falsehoods. The second a journalist calls him on them, is when he just flips out and storms off, as we saw. You know, so I think that there's a big difference. Everybody says, oh, Trump's so accessible. Well, what's the point in access if it's just used to fuel lies and falsehoods? You know, and I think good for her for, you know, holding him there and holding him to account and asking for evidence, which is the minimum job of a journalist, let's not forget. But his response was just outrageous.
But Carl, he's been consistently doing that for the last decade, that he's always claiming that the media is crooked, that it's fake news, the rest of it. So that he undermines confidence in the media so that when they call him out for his straightforward lying, well, he's undermined their credibility and his fan base will say he's right.
Well, it goes back before politics when he hosted the program The Apprentice. He complained that he never got an Emmy because he was discriminated against. So when polls and elections turn out well for him, the polls are great. The elections were fair, but when the election turns out bad for him and polls show that his ratings are very low, as they are right now, it's because of the crooked media. I don't think there's any benefit to come out from attacking the media. They're not going to change. They are what they are. Try to win them over with some honesty. I mean, she was absolutely right. Show the evidence. There hasn't been any. All he does is go back to the Mike, whatever his name was, the pillow guy who advertised all the time and claimed that he was going to give $1 million to anybody who could disprove his theories. Well, somebody came in and disproved his theories, and a judge said he had to pay the money. So there is no evidence for this. But look, I would give advice on how to fix this, and that is to return to the days when I first started voting. It was not for Abraham Lincoln, I want to make a point. But you had to show up in person, or you had to file an absentee ballot for a good reason. You were out of town, out of the country, you were sick, you couldn't show up. Now, mostly the Democrats have opened up this mail voting. This has been the problem in California, sending in ballots at the last possible minute. And that's one of the major reason why it's taking so long to count. And it opens up the allegations for Trump that it's fixed. But there is no evidence for that.
No, there is no evidence. That's the important thing. Marion, tell us a bit more about the continuing controversy about the change of editorial style at the acclaimed 60 Minutes programme. Scott Pelley, who left the programme recently, says that the woman who was brought in to run the organisation wanted 60 Minutes to say that Renee Good was driving towards the officer when she was shot dead by ICE operatives. I think we've all seen the video. Nobody can say that truthfully.
Yeah, I think that Scott Pelley's allegations, very briefly, just background for the listeners, about a year ago, a bit more than a year ago now, actually, Sherry Redstone wanted to sell Paramount to this guy, David Ellison, whose father, Larry Ellison, is the Oracle billionaire, big friend of Trump and Bibi Netanyahu's. And as part of a sweetener, Trump was paid $16 million for a 60 Minutes edit of an interview with Kamala Harris. It was the most ludicrous thing ever, but they wanted to get FCC approval for the merger, went ahead, and Ellison owned Paramount and everybody was happy. Now he's trying to buy Time Warner, and as part of that sweetener, they fired Stephen Colbert, the late night comedian, and they have also now gotten rid of, I think, eight female reporters and producers have been fired from CBS Evening News, which was the flagship evening news programme, and they've now gone after 60 Minutes, which everybody knew in America as that Sunday night programme where you heard the tick, 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 and it had a huge viewership, and it still does have a viewership of about 10 million people, you know, which is pretty impressive considering the way media has fractured. Anyway, Scott Pelley, a new editor came in last week, a guy called Nick Bilt, and he wrote for Vanity Fair. He had a couple of documentaries here and there. No experience at running a flagship news programme like this, just like Barry Weiss, who had a column in the New York Times, left there disgruntled, muttering about people being too woke, set up her Free Press as sort of a newsletter thing, and then was appointed to CBS News as the editor of CBS with no experience in the business. And she's made catastrophic mistakes, and lots of people have left and been fired. So Scott Pelley, who's been there for 37 years, is a really well-respected reporter. Basically, at the meeting for this new guy, went a bit rogue and basically lit a fire under him, told me he had no experience for the job or very little, said Barry Weiss had no experience, accused her of murdering 60 Minutes in CBS, and not too far from the truth if you look at what she's done so far. And he was, of course, fired immediately. And three or four other producers and anchors were also let go. So you're in a situation where these sort of iconic American news programs are being, it seems, deliberately trashed. And he said one of the things that Barry Weiss did or ordered was that they put their thumb on the scale when they were covering the protest.
Okay.
He apparently wanted them to look more violent, and also, as you said, about the car. So
Please, Cal.
Well, in 1972, according to the Gallup poll, 68% of Americans had faith and trust in the media. The latest Gallup poll shows it below 30%, 28% to be exact, for the very first time. It's not about what Scott Pelley or any of the other journalists think about themselves or the program. Television is a business before it is anything else. If it cannot attract the viewers, if it cannot get the ratings, if it cannot bring in the advertisers, then change is going to happen. And so I think that this is a problem with all of the media. They're in complete denial about what the public thinks about them. And Barry Weiss was brought in to change some of that. Whether she will be successful or not, it's still too early to tell. But that's what the main problem is.
Yeah, but maybe it's because when Trump and others continuously go on about fake media and continuously telling lies, that they undermine the confidence. And also, there are serious reasons to worry about the likes of the billionaires deciding for their own commercial reasons to put people into editorial positions to favour Trump. Unfortunately, we don't have time to talk about Graham Platner. We might get back to that later in the week. Thank you, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.